Welcome back to another episode of Sportscastle. I'm Chris.
And I'm Jared.
This week in Newcastle and home sport.
Sang of Stars against South Africa.
The Knight signed son of a gun, and may there be more to come.
Cricket is steel for Sydney, T20.
Jets prayers answered as they take a point from the City of Churches.
Students to face pumas in one day dance.
All that and more in local sport. All right, mate, it's summer, but we might start with a bit of a traditional winter sport, rugby league. There's a bit of action around. The 1st of November is the open season on contracts, and here we are, plenty happening. The Knights rumoured in lots of moves, but got one across the line earlier this afternoon, signing the son of Simon Wolford, Zach Wolford from the Bulldogs. A good option to come in at hooker. He's played New South Wales under-20s and should be a good addition to the team. Put some pressure on young Danny Levi and some of those other guys there fighting out for the number 9 spot.
Yeah, it is, mate, and it's good to, I suppose, get some medicine back because Bulldogs have been taking a few of the Knights players in the last few months, mate. So, good to add a bit of backup, and obviously with Slade Griffin out to the later part of next year at this stage, it's good to have a bit of variety and not just, you know, one player there, so...
Yeah, I rate Wolford, mate. Canberra Junior, he's come through their system. He's still quite young, and I think he offers some good options to have the two young hookers there. I actually think that Wolford will probably turf Levi out of a job, unfortunately, for Danny Levi. But, mate, there's plenty more on the horizon we're hearing. Obviously, there's been plenty of chat around David Clemmer coming to the club. I see the Knights rejected the Bulldogs' offer of a player trade for alternative options and are pushing on with just trying to sign Clemmer for next season, hopefully, even though he's on contract for a couple more years.
Yeah, I think a 4-year deal's been floated around, mate. So, yeah. I know the money on offer's quite good, but I think it's definitely what they need, mate, after missing out on the big bopper from Brisbane earlier in the year, mate.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to be if not the highest paid player in the NRL, mate. $1.2 million a year for the first 2 years and then $1.1 the 2 years after that. So some serious money being talked about. There's also some rumblings around Michael Jennings, mate. An interesting one there. Talked about as a signing and B, a player swap for Jesse Ramian. So in order to, I think Parramatta are looking to free up a little bit of cap space to get Mr. Hayne across. So certainly going to be very interesting to see how that one plays out.
Yeah, obviously another experienced guy, mate, in the outside backs. I think probably one more in the outside backs wouldn't hurt them, especially with a few departures over the off-season, mate. But, yeah, I think the Knights are, you know, they've still got a lot of money in their coffers, but I think that they're trying to do some smart business rather than just signing someone that, you know, could just potentially be a short-term gain and not add a lot to the town and the team.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I'm not too sure about looking at Jennings. Certainly not as a player swap for Ramian with, you know, the upside and future potential of Jesse Ramian. I'd be quite surprised. I mean, Michael Jennings turns 31 in April. Guessing he's maybe got 2 or 3 years in him. So, I mean, I think with the signing of Clemmer, they'd like to think that their premiership window might be 2020-2021. I certainly think... Look, if we can get him as an addition to compete for spots, I believe they've got, you know, still another $1 million even if they sign Clemmer or close to. Certainly be interesting to see there. There's plenty of players floating around in the open market, and there's going to be plenty of dominoes to fall in terms of that, mate. In other news, I'm hearing that the deal for Nathan Ross to leave the Knights is all but done if he wants to take it up. So the ball is in his court. He's got some options there, I've heard, during the week. So certainly be a shame to see the roster leave Newcastle, but you wish him all the best, and I think he's got plenty of potential at either NRL or Super League level. Super League, obviously, a bit of a concern around whether or not and how he might fit their marquee rules in terms of Australian import players.
Yeah, that's right, mate. But, yeah, if he's not going to get footy here, you know, he's too good a player to play New South Wales Cup, and he's got to do what's best for his family and, hopefully he gets a good deal. Or if he wants to stay and tough it out, mate, hopefully he can be in the team, because all the punters and the crowd really like him. They get behind him.
Yeah, he's a crowd favourite, mate. But I'll be honest, I don't know, especially like when they're looking to sign another back. I mean, for me, looking at what we've got now, you're going to have Ramian and Tau Tau Moga in the centres as our first choice centre pairing. And then you have Sean Kenny Dowell on one wing, and mate, you got Edric Lee, you got Ken Seo. You obviously, if he stays around, you have the Ross Dog fighting out for a spot there. And there's a couple of others as well that are coming through, as well as, you know, you've got Sione to fight for a centre berth as well. So there's a lot of people, and, you know, 9 into 4 doesn't fit too well.
No, that's right, mate. That is right, but I suppose you've got to have, yeah, you've got to have depth, and you've got to have, more than just your two options in the positions. But
you certainly do, mate. But no, I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it from Nathan Ross's point of view. If I'm him, I would think he considers himself a converted Novocastrian now, after all his time he spent here with the Newcastle Rugby League and then now the Knights. I would think his realism of it is that, you know, obviously he'd be having a look at going, he's only got now a short window to, you know, make hay while the sun shines, and while, yes, he can make some money here, you know, still cash in on his deal at 30 years of age on Sunday, mate. He's no spring chicken, so if he's not playing first grade consistently over the next 2 years, he's certainly not going to get another 2 or 3 years after that to play him through to 35. So now might be the time to cash in after, you know, having some good form last year, albeit injury interrupted.
Yeah, mate, that's right. I think you summed it up pretty well, but yeah, I suppose we'll watch and see with interest, mate, over the next month or so, I reckon.
Yeah, exactly right, mate. In some other news, obviously announced today, Ben Cross, well, he's essentially signed a deal with South Sydney, I understand, but could quite well be on the move to Red Hill should Anthony Seibold play wife swap with Wayne Bennett.
Yeah, that's right. It's sort of been circling around for about a week, and obviously who would coach the Lions next year if he did depart. But, I believe the deal is good to go, mate. So, yeah, I suppose he's waiting anxiously to see what does happen, and they're sticking to their guns at the moment. But, I don't know how you could coach a team with an outlook to the year after. I think it's just easy to get the job done now.
Well, especially when it's a direct swap. It's understandable if it was one of them sort of waiting for 1 year and then, you know, while the other one's sort of in limbo or whatever, you go, yeah, okay, don't want to have a year off. But, yeah, mate, the coaching merry-go-round's an absolute circus at the moment. But enough on that. But well done to Ben Cross, a stalwart of the NRL. Across, you know, a number of years, he had a really solid playing career, and, you know, played at the Knights himself, and obviously played across, played State of Origin as well. Started at the Raiders, the Storm, then went over to England, obviously, after his time at the Knights. Played a couple of games for New South Wales and has done a pretty good job. I mean, he went straight from playing in the UK to coaching the Knights New South Wales Cup team, and then he's obviously been at South. I think he's coached New South Wales women's side this year as well, so done really well in a coaching capacity in, you know, a career, I suppose, now as a coach that's extended across 6 seasons. So he's done the hard work to get to NRL assistant level, and wish him all the best. And we'll probably see his name starting to get tossed around in that merry-go-round for NRL coaching jobs as people get sacked in the next couple of years.
Next couple of weeks.
Well, mate, I heard a whisper during the week that Nathan Brown's been told he can't lose more than 3 of the first 5 or 6, otherwise he might be on the chopping block, so he could be back in Newcastle in no time, Ben Cross.
Yeah, well, anything could happen, mate, I suppose. It's very crazy at the moment in the NRL, and, you know, players and coaches and whoever else, but, yeah, we'll watch with interest, mate, and hopefully it benefits Newcastle in the long run, mate.
Yeah, exactly right, mate. In other news, we did talk about the Emerging Rebels last week, but another one of their side has been snapped up. Jack Jordan, the young fella from Macquarie, has been snapped up by Parramatta's under-20s for the 2019 season. And then I understand there's a number of other deals on number of other boys on trial deals with flag sides, both with North and the Victorian Thunderbolts at the moment, as well as a couple heading to the Knights, headlined by Ben Tulte from Lakes. So, mate, plenty going on there, which is good to see the young fellas taking that next step up. And obviously we already talked about Lachlan Wormsley joining the New South Wales Cup next year as well, so plenty happening.
Yeah, and I suppose it's good opportunity, as we, you know, when they jump into that different competition this year, there's obviously a lot of scouts, you know, a lot of that sort of level football is filmed now, as you are aware, with like the likes of Bar TV. So just go, you know, and any given, hey, if you turn up with a good attitude, mate, I suppose, you know, any Big Brother is watching.
Yeah, well, mate, there's always plenty of opportunity, and even if it's not, you know, someone else watching, there's opportunities for these guys to, you know, have their management or themselves put together tapes and push themselves, and, you know, it's an advantage that, you know, and it's quality footage as opposed to, you know, mum's handy cam and these sorts of things back in the day. And I also note that during the week, Bar TV were inquiring about if there was more footage of lower grade games, whether people would be prepared to pay a couple of bucks a month to be able to watch those. And I certainly think that's a great initiative if they can get that off the ground, covering more sports going forward, so and more levels. Speaking of some of the lower levels, mate, I did notice during the week that the Waratah Mayfield Cheetahs are looking for a return after a quiet year in the bleachers, so to speak. They've announced Jason Boney as the club's senior captain coach, and Dwayne Sampson, who won a third grade title with South this year, as their assistant coach. Sambo's been around for a while playing lower grades at South, and he's certainly got a good head for footy, and as does Jason, so there'll be some good additions, and they're pushing towards A grade for next year, so that's very exciting to see the Cheetahs back in the Newcastle and Hunter Rugby League, mate.
Yeah, they'll add a bit of spice to the old A grades, mate, if they can get back in there.
Yeah, just depending on who else, and hopefully it's not at the expense. We've seen lots of, you know, merry-go-rounds where a bunch of players leave one club and pop up at another, but look, on the positive side, it's good to see a team that was formerly in the Tuis Cup, you know, had disappeared into the wilderness this year, but hopefully back in A grade next year and going on to bigger and better things. Also hearing a rumour that with the departure of Cade Snowden over to Central, and I believe his brother Riley's gone as well, that former Lakes, predominantly reserve grader, but also first grader Aaron Morris might be taking over as captain coach of the Rabbits at Belmont South, and I'd be pretty confident that they'd be looking to push into A and still remain in A grade. And Aaron, with all of his connections to his former Lakes crew, I'm sure will have some names coming back out of the woodwork to pull on the boots at Belmont South. So, yeah.
He wants to get on board and get down to Neville Thompson Oval, mate.
Yeah, everyone wants to be there, mate. So, yeah, be good to see Chop leading those boys around. He's Lakes and Belmont through and through. He was a junior there, played plenty of years at grade, and now has been at Belmont South for a number of years. So, good to see him on board. Finally, with rugby league, mate, the Country Rugby League Women's Nines still going on. A couple of rounds down, and our man Mick Akers from the Aberglass and Ants has kept us up to date with everything. So, the games again this week back to St John Oval, but just having a look at the standings that Mick shot through, mate. So a few sides currently sitting undefeated. Pool A, both West and Awabakal, yet to lose a game. Waratah sitting in third with 3 wins, Aberglasson with 2, and Birkenvale with 1. Woiwoi and Stockton yet to have a win. So everyone plays 2 games a day. So it looks like West and Awabakal are teams to beat there, mate.
Yeah, it's shaping up nicely there, mate. Have they been getting a decent crowd down there? Has Mick been talking about that?
I'm not too sure, mate. We didn't really talk too much on crowd. So as I said, those two sides in pool, that was pool B, sorry, pool A. On top of that is University now. They're on 4 wins, and now they don't do 4 and against. They've got percentages now. Most of the teams that seem to be going all right have percentages in the 1 and the 200s. University's percentage is at 1,900%.
Wow.
So that means that basically for every point that the other team scores, they're scoring 20.
Nice. Well, they're obviously the team to beat at this stage, mate.
They were runners up in the ladies' league tag grand final in Newcastle and Hunter Rugby League, so going on to bigger and better things. Wongee also undefeated. And we've got Berkeley Vale Yellow and the Karua Roos, both with 2 wins, mate. And then the remaining 4 teams all have the 1 win and 3 losses. Tea Gardens, Kingcumber, Budgiewoy and Raymond Terrace. And so Chris Longworth reliably tells me that Woiwoi are the best sorts in the ladies tackle competition. So I don't know if that's helping them win. I don't think that's helping them win too many games, but no, they haven't won one yet. So they're running equal last in the pool B. So that's all right. We'll leave Longy out there to judge the talent of the women. He might join Big Al and they might start their own breakaway women's sport podcast.
I'll be a listener, mate. subscriber.
Oh, I can just imagine the two of them. You'd need like bar mats under their chins for the drool.
Yeah, some of Shane Tapper's tape, mate, to keep their chins up.
Yeah, exactly, mate. Moving on, mate, we'll jump into Hoff's House, the A-League and the soccer as a whole. Might start just wrapping up as we speak is the Jets' first game of the W League season down at Lakeside Stadium in Melbourne. It was live on Fox Sports tonight for anyone that was watching. Unfortunately, mate, you could have switched off after 12 minutes. There was 3 goals in the first 12 minutes and nothing after that.
Excitement plus, mate.
Yeah, well, it would have been for the first 12, but unfortunately the Jets were not the victors there. So Melbourne Victory scored in the 7th and the 11th. Courtney Vine clawed one back in the 12th, but the Jets went down there. So a bye and a loss to start their season, probably not what they were looking for, mate. They've signed a number of players this year, and I certainly think they'll be around and about. But again, Melbourne City probably the team to beat in the W League, and they've now got 16 days off till their next game, which will be at number 2 Sports Ground, which we'll cover as it approaches, mate.
Yeah, and I actually saw something online the other day. Number 2 was cancelled a few training sessions there because it was looking rather patchy. So hopefully they can get it sorted, mate, for 16 days' time so they can get the game going.
Yeah, well, mate, I'm sure they'll get the game going. If it's not there, I would assume they'll move it to Magic Neville Park.
Neville Thompson Oval.
They will not move it to Neville Thompson Oval, mate. There is no goalposts. So that's the W League. I'll be following that with a keen eye with some of the recruits they've got this year, and might even sneak myself down to a few games. I understand that our memberships get us into those, so that'd be nice. I don't know if there's like seating there, mate, whether you have to sit in the club seat still or whether you're actually allowed to go somewhere else. So
sit on the hill, mate, with the punters.
Yeah, you won't be allowed in the shade. They're playing a night game next up, so that's interesting. So it'd be interesting to see how the lights at number 2 stack up. Anyway, we'll move on to the men's, mate, and I was down there, as anyone who was watching Fox Sports on Friday night, would have seen. We're right behind the Hoff and Ronnie Vargas when they celebrated the Jets' goal in the second half there. Got the mug on Fox Sports, and I got a few messages, including our mate from our newest sponsor, Aerolax Australia, the compression gear specialist, Troy Lowry, telling me to get my mug off TV, so that was nice. Good to see he's looking out for me. But the Jets, mate, they got away to a lead there in the second half. But former Jet himself, Craig Goodwin, started off what's become an absolute red-hot week for him and put him in Socceroo contention with a cracker of an equaliser, and that's how she stood till full-time.
Yeah, it did, mate. The Jets they played well again. I think Adelaide sort of probably didn't sit back as much as what Wellington did the week before, but I think they're a bit more organised than what Wellington were, but the Jets were good in patches. I think I'm still looking for a bit more from Jair out on that left. I think when he does get involved, he looks good, but it's sort of he drifts in and out at the moment.
Looks like he's lacking a bit of confidence still, mate, and a bit of match fitness, I think. So
yeah,
I think it might really come like with time.
Mitch Austin, get on there on the left wing, mate.
I think the other problem that you've got is you're probably, and it's not just you, it's most of the Jets fans are probably setting an expectation of Ronald Vargas on Arun Jair, and they're not the same players. So, look, Jair is going to be, a bit more of a passive player than Vargas is. He's not as aggressive if you just go back and watch his tape, etc. So, look, I guess we'll wait and see. I think he's a yard short of a run still and probably adjusting to a bit of a different climate here versus South Korea. And obviously just a bit matter of how much match time he can get under his belt. And you can see that he's still not running out of game. So a bit of a battle for him, as you say. It probably would have been nice to inject Mitch Austin and his pace a little bit earlier. I was surprised by the insertion, I guess, of Nick Cowburn on the weekend. I really thought they would have brought Kane Sheppard into the game when it was 1-1. But they left our man, the Hoff, on there, and he played through the game. So, look, at the end of the day, I think if you had told them that they could take a point from Adelaide, they would have been, prior to the season, they would have been happy. I don't know if they'd be happy to only have 1 point after 2 games, though. So, certainly doesn't get any easier this Saturday night, however, mate. And we'll get into that in a moment. I'll just go through a bit of a run-through of our Player of the Year. Our man, the goal scorer from the weekend, Ronnie Vargas, sits on top with 13. Our other goal scorer for thus far this season, Dimi Petrados, he's on 8. Jason Hoffman on 4, Nigel Bougard on 3, and Nicola Topol-Stanley on 3. They ride out they round out the top 5, mate. So as we touched on last week, we've got three of us voting for that with a 3-2-1 each week, and they just add up each week. And obviously the maximum anyone can get is 9. And just so realistic, Vargas has got 13 out of 18 so far. Not a bad start to the season. He's hit the ground well and truly running.
He certainly has, mate. And you can see he's got a little bit of his swagger back and his confidence since taking that screw out of his foot. And yeah, I don't think it'll be long, mate, with the couple of goals we have scored this year. You know, so far have been pretty entertaining. So I do think once we click, I think it'll be similar to last year in patches. I think the goals will start coming.
Yep.
But like you said, I think Jair just find his feet a little bit, and I think once O'Donovan comes back in December, the goals might start flowing in too, mate.
Yeah, a little bit, mate. I think we've just got to have a bit more. It looks like they're not quite confident with their pattern of play yet either. I think Ernie's rejigged it a little bit, just not wanting to be so easily read and predictable. Obviously, a lot of teams would have done a lot of study on us after last year. So he's changed it up a little bit without reinventing it, and I think they're just settling into that as well as a number of new players, obviously. As a whole, obviously, the big signings that we've brought in, not so big probably, Jair, outside of him, and I'm not going to say he's been disappointing, I just don't think we've seen him hit his straps yet. He's shown some glimpses, and I think he's got some ability. As I said, I don't think he's ever going to be at the same level as Ronnie is, but if he can be a solid, consistent performer each week in, week out, that's what we're going to ask and that's what we need. Mitch Austin has shown when he's got on, he's really got involved. Kane Shepherd's shown himself to have some good touch, and I think he'll fill that role for most of the season as a bench, you know, sort of impact player, barring more injuries. And, I mean, he may be unfortunate that when Roy comes back that he might miss out on that bench, but we'll wait and see. And obviously the other one is Matty Ryden, who's done a really good job, and he's pretty much slotted straight into, I guess, that role of Wayne Brown's from last year. It'll be interesting to see whether or not he'll hold his spot in the starting lineup this week or whether Cantor will go straight into the team. So I guess we'll know more on Saturday afternoon, mate.
We will, and we watch with interest, mate. And,
speaking of,
yeah, get excited for this week's.
Mate, the grand final rematch, first home game. We've hit 10,000 members, you know, a few days out. It's great. We'll be probably 10.5 by game day. Really closing in on that goal that Laurie McInnes said of 11-3, which is the most members I've ever had. I'm pretty confident we should probably surpass that, maybe even by the Sydney game, which would be really exciting to have that bit of boost. But it is the grand final rematch. I don't think that the Jets will be dwelling on that too much. I don't think there'll be too much chat about the VAR, that's for sure. But the Jets host Melbourne Victory, 7:50 on Saturday night, mate. How do you see this one shaping up?
I think the Jets are going to click, mate, at home. I think they're going to do it for the fans. I think they're going to win 3-1 at home, mate, and the Hoff will get off the duck for the season.
Now, the interesting thing for me in this one is these teams, who were last year's grand finalists, finished second and fourth on the ladder, are currently sitting 8th and 10th, respectively. I certainly think that the Melbourne Victory will be looking for some more from their big names, such as Mr. Honda. I think this is going to be, they'll have this one earmarked because they know the Jets will be up for it as well. And unfortunately, I think it's going to be a 1-1 draw.
1-1 draw at home.
Yeah, correct. So that's unfortunately my prediction for the game. But yeah, I guess we'll wait and see. It'll be interesting to see, as we said, how the team lines up with it, you know. Kantorovsky back to fitness. He looked pretty good once he came on last week, and how they reshuffle. I've still got some concerns around old Michael Jackson out on the out at left fullback there, and his indecisiveness at times. He seems to confuse himself a little bit. He's obviously very young, and he also has just sort of he looks like he just, I don't know, drifts off sometimes, and then just isn't quite paying attention, and that's where he gets caught. So be interesting to see. They might even be able to reshuffle the team there. I don't know what Ry Denton's ability is, or whether Steve Yagarkovich might be able to play at left back top possibly, but we'll wait and see what Ernie has, and we'll trust in Ernie, mate.
Yes.
The other games this week, we have Friday night, 7:50 at Amy Park. We have Melbourne City hosting Sydney, third versus first, which ironically is exactly where these two teams finished on the ladder last year. Both on 4 competition points with a win and a draw each. Who do you like here, mate?
It's going to be tough for Sydney backing up after their FFA Cup heartbreak on Tuesday night, mate.
Certainly is, mate.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go the home side, Sydney, to get it done. Yeah, 3-0, mate.
3-0, wow. I think Sydney will be smarting, and I think they'll probably bounce back. It is obviously going to be tough with it being their third game in 7 days. That'll certainly be tough, as well as adding in, you know, the fact that they've travelled. They're in Sydney on Saturday, then across to Adelaide for Tuesday, and then I believe they went straight to Melbourne from Adelaide. I'm going to go Sydney to bounce back a little, but I'm going to go a draw here as well. Next up, we've got Saturday, the early game, mate. Fourth host ninth. Now, if I'd have said to you before the season that after two rounds these teams would be fourth and ninth, you probably wouldn't have picked it around the way it is. The home side, Wellington, they host the Western Sydney Wanderers. Wellington sitting in fourth, Western Sydney Wanderers in ninth, 5:30 at Westpac Stadium in Wellington. Mate, I've got the Wanderers getting their first W of the season. Here against a Wellington side that I think has been outperforming their ability curve.
They have, as we said last week, Redan's got them set up pretty well at the back, and yeah, I think I'm going to go the home side here again, mate. Wellington in a close one, 1-0. I think they'll get it done at home.
Lovely, mate. Wellington for you. Obviously, as we said, the Jets will be the second game of a triple header on Saturday. The last one will be the late game from Perth, 10 o'clock Eastern time from NIB Stadium. Perth, who are sitting in second, will take on Brisbane, who are in seventh. This ladder is so close that the teams from first to seventh are all on equal competition points, mate, so a win can be really crucial early on. Adam Taggart returns to take on one of his former teams over there at NIB. Mate, I can't separate these two. I've been very impressed with Brisbane, and and Perth have shown glimpses under Popper, but I'm going to sit on the fence again for the third time this week and go a draw.
Another draw, mate. I'm going to go the home side again, mate. Perth 2-1.
Perth 2-1. Lovely, mate. And the final match of the round on Sunday, he sees the Central Coast Mariners, who are sitting in sixth, host Adelaide, who are sitting in fifth. Adelaide obviously will be flying high after their win in the FFA Cup, but again, this will be their third game in 9 days. 5 o'clock down at Central Coast Stadium. Certainly Craig Goodwin's in some pretty good form. 3 goals in about 4 days, so he'll be looking to follow that on, mate. Who do you like here?
I'm going to go with the draw, mate, in this one. I think Adelaide will be obviously on a high, but, yeah, I think it'll just be another draw for the Mariners.
Yeah, mate, I'm going to go a draw as well. These sides have started their campaigns with 2 draws, and at the moment the draws are striking at 60% in the opening 2 rounds of the A-League, mate. So
you got 4 this week, don't you?
I've got 4, that's correct, mate. Yeah, 4 out of 5, that's right. So, certainly think there'll be a few this week again.
The big question is, mate, is Lawrence, the goalkeeper from Melbourne Victory, going to wear Shane Tapper's strapping again?
No, I think he's wearing. He's going to wear headgear, mate, because he's scared that Roy's going to come from the crowd and fly kick him.
I wonder if anyone's actually passed on that Roy won't be actually playing and the Hoff's going to smash him.
Yeah, I'm not too sure whether that'll happen or not, mate, but we'll wait and see. And might just have a bit of an update on the tipping as well, mate. You're breaking away from the pack.
Yes, mate. Scoring.
Well, mate, you got another 2 last week, and you doubled it. Well, your total is equal to second and third. I've snuck into second. I've gone past Bill with a nice little 2 this week, and mate, there's a lot of blokes on 1 out of 10.
The king of grinder, mate. He's got no idea.
He's struggling, mate. My concern is that he's pinned under Forbes there, and he physically can't climb the ladder. But yeah, mate, I've noted down your tips just to make sure you are consistent and you do tip the same teams that you've said on the show, mate. So,
last week.
Yeah, well, I didn't note it down, so I can't vouch for that.
I did the first week and I did last week, so onwards and upwards, mate. 4 home winners this week.
4 home winners, you reckon? Well, we'll wait and see. And where will you be sitting this week for the Jets game, mate?
I'm not exactly sure. sure. We'll be scrambling to get there after Santa photos on the beach at Redhead, mate, but we will be there. But
it'll be done. The sun's going to be set by the time it gets taken. Like, what sort of photos are you getting done?
5:35, mate, Redhead Beach.
Yeah, well, mate, takes 30 seconds to take a photo.
Yeah, I know it does, but you know, there's lots of lineups down there, mate. It's very popular these days, the Santa photos on the beach. And
yeah, well,
trying to get your four kids to stay in line and wait their turn, mate.
Yeah, well, there's a solution. Drop a couple off at an orphanage. There you go. Problem solved.
Yeah. Uncle Rad will take the photos and get to the game an hour early.
I'm not allowed to take photos of kids, mate. Sorry. All right, mate. We might move on to the Newcastle District Cricket. Plenty to talk about. Just had confirmation through first. We might touch on the... obviously, the Tom Lockyer and second grade finals were rescheduled from Sunday, which will give us a good chance to have a bit of a preview of them as they come. But the second grade final has been scheduled for the 11th of November, so Sunday week. We'll be back at George Farley Oval there at Wall's End. And yeah, so we'll have a look ahead to that one next week with Wall's End being the home side, mate.
Yeah, we look forward to hopefully getting the final in, mate. Obviously, wet weather happened again last week, which is a shame, but
yep.
Yeah, it's going
to
be exciting.
Yeah, that it will, mate. It's always good, and good to see, you know, some second graders and lower graders getting an early chance to grab some silverware. But, mate, obviously Tom Lockyer final, again, it was washed out on Sunday along with that second grade one. Mate, NBN was obviously a bit short on news. They showed footage of some Hamwicks players throwing vortexes at each other. So University will play Hamwicks, mate. The great news for University is that their incapacitated star signing, Scott Logan, might be back in time for the game.
Could be, mate. It'll be touch and go for whenever they decide to play it. But, yeah, he obviously missed last week's solid win with...
But more crucially, mate, he was the missing X factor last night in the Grasshoppers' loss.
Yeah, I don't know Thumping. If he could help us, mate. We let in a load of tries, 6 tries. It was a terrible defensive effort.
I feel like we didn't let in that many tries at all last season in any game.
We only let 5 in the whole year.
It was much more than that, mate. You're on drugs.
I'm
pretty confident we didn't let 6 in a game, though.
No, not once, I don't think. No. Oh, actually, no, the couple of the early games we did when we were in B grade.
No. I'm pretty sure we had 5-2 and 4-3 and 4-1 the first three last year. I'm pretty sure we didn't let in 6, or if we did, it was only just 6. But, yeah, I'm pretty confident it was 5-4 and 4 because we're right in a couple of them.
Well, we're riding high after last week's big win, mate, but... Hopefully we get a bit of reinforcements back next week and we can get another W up.
Yeah, well, mate, we'll wait and see who's available. So will Scotty Logan be kidding up this week in the cricket, or is he still out of action?
No, he's out of action for about a month, mate, I believe, in all sport. So lying on the lounge feeling sorry for himself.
Is he out? The big thing is, like, do I need to, like, sell my shares in King Street because their value is going to go down because he's not out and about on Saturday nights?
Yeah, they won't be able to go to this, that either, mate. So I don't know what he's going to do.
All I know is he's probably going to end up with blisters on his hands, but we'll leave it at that. So on to last weekend's results, mate, from the one-dayers, and there was some pretty solid standout performances, and we'll run through quickly. Charlestown took on Wall's End, mate. Charlestown batted first, put up 187. Wall's End bowled out in pursuit of that. As usual, the usual suspects scoring there, with Mr. Price top scoring for Wall's End, and young Richardson top scoring for Charlestown, mate.
Yeah, Richardson started the year off pretty well. Middle order bat, mate. It seemed to go all downhill once Mr. Price got out, but...
Yeah, certainly Mr. Montgomery, who I understand dislocated his finger in the warm-up.
Yeah, nice. That's a nice, painful injury, mate.
It is, mate. So Charlestown getting the win there. Next up, mate, Wes. They travelled over to Lynn Oval and played as per expected. Set a total of 129. They certainly cleaned up, getting that 2 down, half centuries, not out to Aaron Wivell and out to the second string Price at the moment, Joseph.
Yeah, he needs to step up, mate. He needs to do something outlandish to get that title back. But
he certainly does, mate. So,
did it easy, mate. Did it easy.
No surprises there. Speaking of no surprises, Newcastle City, they won the toss and batted first against University. 148 was the total they set. No one managing to reach the half-century mark for City, but University had Mr. McKechnie and the number one fan of the Nathan Hudson fan club, Nathan Hudson, both getting half centuries to lead University to a comfortable win with about nine overs to spare there at where they play it, mate. University number one. I had a mind blank there. No, it was University number one, mate. That's what the scorecard says. I'm going to go with that.
You're right. I'm probably wrong.
Yeah, that's right. You should be used to by now. Moving on, Toronto, mate. They took on Belmont again. Belmont won the toss and batted first. Lots of 20s and 30s and starts, but no follow-ons from Belmont. Posted a score of 166. And Toronto, they're loving a nail bite at the moment. Chased it down on the third last ball of the match with one wicket in hand.
Yeah, they did, mate. And
again, a lot of starts.
They're winning some games before Christmas.
Yeah, a lot of starts there, mate. Again, you know, top scores, 220s, 230s for both sides. Very similar, a lot of starts, but no one seemed to be able to go on with it. And yeah, so a spattering of wickets around, and yeah, it was certainly that's two nail biters in a row that the Kookaburras have been involved in, and I think their officialdom will be starting to lose some hair, mate.
But I suppose they're winning, so that's the only thing they're looking at.
Speaking of close mates, your man Rahul Bakshi fell agonisingly short, run out by the stalwart Simon Moore on 99. A big opening partnership there for Cardiff as they batted first. They first wicket fell at 183, then fell fairly consistently after that, but they posted a very solid 221. My man, mate, Nick Watkins, I said he was going to fire this week, and he got 77, didn't top score, but batted quite well there, and had a couple little fires through the end there, but no one else seemed to be able to get any runs once those two wickets fell, and they finished up 6 for 221. Merriweather gave it a red-hot crack with the usual suspects, Simon Moore, Mr. Geary, and Eccleston getting some runs, mate, but wasn't to be, and they fell about 15 runs short, but it was an entertaining chase, I'm told, and the boys from Cardiff did get a little bit nervous with Courtney Moulton getting 12 off 8 balls late. He started swinging the bat and looked like it might come down to the last over or so, but not to be.
It wasn't to be, and well done to Cardiff, mate. They've started the year off with good intentions. Prawns is out there running the ship, and yeah, they're doing really well.
I'm not sure if you can tell me, mate, but someone might have tipped that they'd be pretty handy this year.
Yeah, you did say it, mate, and I believe they won the Gordon Goffert Shield too for winning, because they won the first and second grade against Merriweather.
There you go, mate. Yeah, first time in a few years. And, mate, I see that they have recruited well. Not only have they recruited, their captain, Mr. Watkins, and brought Mr. Sharma over, and they got the Bills there as well, but they've recruited Dan Carter from the All Blacks.
Is there anything he can't do, mate?
Well, he took four wickets. It looks like, well, we didn't really see him bat, so we don't know if he can do that yet. But, certainly very impressive. Mr. Bakshi had a good day out as well, rolled the arm over. I'm not sure about the five wides he bowled one over, but that's a whole other story. A couple of catches. So if he keeps that form up, mate, he'll be putting pressure on Nathan Price as well as the man of the moment who we'll touch on now, mate. Hamwicks, they hosted Waratah Mayfield over at Passmore Oval. And Waratah batted first. No one really got going. Again, a few starts in the teens. Their main man, Johnny Durraheim, with 28. Asher Robbins top scoring in the 30s. So not much there, mate. But what have I done there? I've closed the scorecard. That wasn't clever. No real hassle for the boys from Hamwicks in chasing down that total. And, certainly very impressive. Benny Balkan with a half century, the rep keeper. And but the most impressive, mate, was Abe Gibson with his second five for in a row, 5 for 8 or 5 overs.
Very impressive, mate.
Do you reckon there's any danger? Like, he's bowling fifth change each week. Do you reckon there's any danger that the skipper, Mr. Webber there, decides to throw in the ball a little bit earlier?
Surely. Maybe he just wants to give everyone a chance to try and catch him in the wickets, mate, and, you know. Then he comes on and cleans them all up.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll wait and see, mate. But yeah, they chased it down with the total of 115. They got 4 for 116 with 11.5 overs to spare. So that got them home and saw them into the final, mate, against University, which we will see in a few weeks once the rep season has wrapped up, I'm told, reliably by the boys from Newcastle District Cricket.
Yeah, it's good to see Waratah, mate. A bit of banter on our Facebook page as well with our posts.
Yeah, Piers Robinson, John O'Toomey all getting in there and, yeah.
Yeah, it's good. So mate,
if they start getting as many runs as they've got one liners, they'll move their way into the top 10 on the Newcastle District Cricket leaderboard in no time.
Yeah, that's right. So, come on, boys, you get a few wickets this week and you'll get some points, I reckon.
Yeah, exactly right, mate. And we'll get onto those in a second, this week's fixtures, that is. But the player of the year standings and the man we just talked about there, Abraham Gibson, he's joined Nathan Price, the seasoned veteran, at the top, both equal first on 15 points, mate. Brad Alders from West on 13. As we mentioned before, the number one member of the Nathan Hudson fan club on 10. Then you go back to Daniel Chillingworth, Simon Keane on 9. I don't think Simon Keane will get too many more points anytime soon. Courtney Moulton and Nick Watkins on 5. Rahul Bakshi on 4 and Dean Carter on 3. Cardiff representing with 3 in the top 10, mate.
Yeah, they're rocking it, mate. They're playing well. They're all stepping up. So, yeah, let's see who can get the put the pressure on the Alpha Price this week.
So they're the only ones with more than 1 in there, mate. So it's a good spread. Good to see there's 8 teams represented out of the 12 in the top 10, mate.
It is, mate, it is, and it just goes to show we are watching, so, yeah, keep scoring runs and taking wickets.
Exactly right, mate. So, as we said, the two-day action starts this Saturday and we'll carry on next Saturday. 11 o'clock starts on each of the matches, mate, so we'll start at Cardiff number 2, Cardiff hosting Belmont, mate. If this game had been 12 months ago, you would have almost backed Belmont as an outright lay-down Mazaire for an outright, mate, so... How have 12 months changes things? Who do you like here and what are your thoughts?
I think Cardiff's going to get it done, mate. I think just the amount of confidence they've got from what they've done early, obviously Watkins and Rahul leading from the front. I think they're going to get it done fairly easily, but it's good to see Belmont. You know, although they've had a pretty big exodus, they're still showing a lot of fight. Obviously, Marcus is trying to lead a few of them younger guys, but I think Gray will carry on his form, but yeah, I think Cardiff will get the chocolates, mate.
Lovely, mate. Yeah, I've got Cardiff with the first innings result to get it done here, led by those names that you mentioned, as well as Mr. Sharma. I think he might come into his own in the two-day cricket with a bit more time and a bit less pressure to score quickly and get off the mark in what would probably be a bit unfamiliar conditions still. Next up, mate, Toronto hosting Charlestown out at Ron Hill Oval out there at Toronto West. Mate, I think the Kookaburras will get this one done, but I think this one might be an absolute belter and there might be a bit of a seesaw in this and, you know, a few unexpected stand-ups and interesting moments. The things to take into consideration too with this, though, is that with rep cricket next weekend, there will be players out of action. Certainly, like Toronto obviously will miss Adrian Chad and Charlestown and miss Jed Dixon. So it'd be interesting to see like whether teams take those into consideration with tosses and things like that. So like a team like Charlestown where Jed's obviously a key batsman for them, whereas Chaddy's a bit of the all-rounder for Toronto. So either way, they're going to lose a bit of his assets, whereas Charlestown would probably want to bat first and hope that Jed can get a score this week with being out next week.
Yeah, important toss to win, I reckon, out there at Ronnie Hill, mate. Runs on the board, but I'm going to stick with my boys, mate, the Magpies. They're undefeated so far, and, yeah, I think they'll get it done, but I think it could come down to the last 2 hours of play, this one, mate.
Yeah, right, mate. I'm not sure. I wasn't aware that Charlestown was undefeated so far, but...
Yeah, 3 wins, 2 draws from the washouts, and they missed out on percentages in the Tom Lockett final.
Right, yeah, of course.
22 points, same as Hamwicks and Uni at this stage.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, of course. I don't know why I haven't pinned for a loss on my ladder. That's why my figures were wrong last week that Chris Oliver picked us up on.
I think we tipped Wall's End last week.
Yeah, and I'm not worried about the tips, mate. I'm talking about the running titles that I had. So, yeah, there's more than just those graphics that you see on Instagram and Facebook that go into this stuff, mate.
It's not just a pretty face, mate.
No, mate. I'm working hard behind the scenes, carrying the load. Next one up, mate, Merriweather hosting Newcastle City. This game will be not too heavily affected by rep involvement, I would think, for a bit of a change.
Yeah, just Josh Geary from Merriweather there, mate. But, yeah. Yeah, the old rivalry, the inner-city rivalry, I think Merriweather will get the job done, mate. And I think I expect Simon Moore to get a big one this week.
Lovely, mate. So just these are all, you've all just tipped first innings wins so far.
Yeah, I think it'll be, yeah, first innings. Yep, that's correct.
Mate, the next one, this one could be an absolute cracker. These two teams both in pretty good form. West with just the one loss. Hamwicks, as we touched on, undefeated in the one day. As they're over there at Harker Oval. West grow another leg at Harker Oval, mate. This one will be an absolute belter across the 2 days and could well go to well into next Saturday late before we see a result.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it'll be similar to the Toronto Charlestown game. It'll go down to the, you know, probably around the tea break on the second day. But mate, I'm going to actually probably go for a bit of an upset. I'm going to go with Hamwicks to beat West, mate.
Yeah, right. I'll stick with the home side, mate. I'll go with West and yeah, me and Joe Price to come to the fore. Obviously, a big thing for them is that the fact Joe won't be playing. Saturday week, so he will be available, I understand, for their both days.
Very nice.
Next up, mate, I think this one's pretty straight up, these next two. University hosts Stockton at the University of Newcastle. Who do you like here, mate? I wouldn't be surprised if this one's over on the first day almost.
Yeah, I think it'll be, again, an important toss. If Uni win the toss, I think they could be batting in the afternoon. But, yeah, I expect Uni to be pushing for outright in this at least, and, yeah, they'll get the job done, mate, at home.
Yeah, I've got University getting the outright there as well, mate. So we agree on that one. Finally, mate, Wall's End versus Waratah Mayfield. I understand Wall's End will have Pat McGann out this week for personal reasons, and Nathan Price, obviously, and Jacob Montgomery out next week. So, again, very crucial toss to win. I would think that Wall's End would be looking for a opportunity to bat this week, and obviously Jacob will be dependent on his fitness and how his finger has recovered. I haven't been confirmed whether or not there was any fracture or whether it was just a dislocation.
Yeah, well, hopefully it's speedy recovery anyway, mate. Hopefully get back on the field. And, yeah, I expect the home side. I just think with Price and Montgomery out the second week, a lot of pressure's on this week. But I expect Wall's End to get a first innings win in this game, mate.
Yeah, their bowling stocks will certainly be tested as to whether or not they can get the outright. They would have been hoping when they saw the draw until they realised the clash with representative cricket. And obviously with the loss of Matt Wicks. And I believe it's been confirmed that Brett Jackson will not play in 2018-19. So that's a little disappointing for them. But they do have some good players wandering around in second grade. So look, I'm going to tip Wall's End to get it done outright here in what's probably a little bit of a surprise. But if they want to stake their claim for the top four, they're going to need to stand up this week and next week, even with the absence of their illustrious skipper, the Alpha Price.
That's right, but obviously, yeah, Dara Hines out the second week too for Waratah, mate. So.
Yeah, exactly right, and that's a big loss for Waratah, mate. He's been, you know, a little bit the heart and soul of their team as a batsman and a bowler, and, yeah, his absence could be fairly disastrous for them. So wait and see, mate, I guess. A little bit more action. As we said, the Newcastle Steel kick off their campaign on Sunday, mate, and they head down all the way down to North Dalton Park in Wollongong to take on Illawarra. It's a long way to go for 3 hours of cricket.
It certainly is, mate.
But
the captain's looking forward to it.
Mate, I understand it's going to be a real shootout for the Alpha Price, with both Prices opening the batting.
Yeah, nice. Well, they might be looking to run each other out,
mate. Well, I did ask that question, and I was assured that wouldn't be the case. And I said, well, you know,
at the end of the day, riding on it.
Mate, it's the biggest title in Newcastle cricket, I understand. It's been talked about at rep training. It's been talked about in the streets. You know, even Cessnock Correctional Facility, there's people talking about it. So it's everywhere. And, yeah, I think the people in question are underestimating the value of that award.
Certainly are, mate. I agree.
But, mate, I believe it's a fairly strong-looking lineup, and I certainly think the Newcastle boys, from talking to a couple of them, will be, and a couple of people involved around the scenes, they'll be quite confident of their, I guess, ability to get the win done. They've got a pretty solid lineup, as I said. I'm just bringing that up in front of me, the batting lineup. Do you have it in order, mate, or?
I've got the order of the team as it was named, which I believe is
alphabetical surname.
Actually, it's not alphabetical because J Price is the third one, the fourth, Ben Price, Aldous, Ben Malcolm, Joe Price, Adrian Chad.
It looks like Joe Price has just been inserted in the alphabetical order. Everything else in alphabetical order, barring the captain. So
yeah, that's what I thought when you said that. Yeah.
So yeah. Well,
Toby Gray's obviously there, but he's down the list, but he's after Montgomery.
So it looks like the batting lineup for the Steel is Price, Watkins, Montgomery, Dixon, Chad, Balcombe, Durheim, Robertson, Foster, and Alder. So it's a fairly deep batting lineup. Also in the squad, Josh Geary, Peter Loschek, and Toby Gray. So it's a pretty strong squad that they're going away with, mate. And it's a deep batting lineup when you've got Jonty, who's obviously a pretty handy enough stick batting at, what's that, nine? Eight? So. Yeah, certainly pretty handy. And sorry, my computer's just frozen, mate. So here we go. We're away again now. Dylan Robertson from Toronto, then coming into bat after that. And, you know, even a couple of those blokes at 10, well, 10, Nick Foster can hold a bat from time to time. So, yeah, they've got plenty of batting there. Hopefully they won't need it. Hopefully it'll be double tons to the Price twins.
Double tons in a T20, that would be...
Dual tons, I should say, as opposed to double tons.
One each. That would be good watching.
One each, but yeah.
Yeah, I think they've got a pretty good side, obviously, on paper, mate. And they've had a few retirees and a few player movements from last year, so it'd be good to see their progress, mate. And I'll be looking with interest on Sunday to see how they go.
Yeah, as will I, mate. And then again, obviously, they head off next weekend to Nowra. They've been moved into the Southern Pool, so boys may as well just set up camp in Wollongong this week and then travel on from there.
Stay down there, mate. Set up camp like the Sydney FC did.
Yeah, exactly right, mate. But that's obviously the Newcastle District. The Newcastle Steel. And then we'll cover off on the country ahead of that next week. Finally, mate, the final thing to wrap up with, I guess, Jason Sanger. I was down in Canberra yesterday. Watched the young former Wall's End boy. He hasn't been in the best form in the Shield, self-admitted as I spoke to him after the match. He'd been a bit disappointed with his batting there, but got a good little knock of 38 in a partnership with 77 with former Aussie one-day skipper George Bailey, which really brought them back into the chase against South African side, and also got one for 30 bowling his handy little leg spinners, mate. So good day out for young Jason. He's only 19 years of age and coming up against a fully stacked South African side that was basically only missing Hashim Amla. It was a good effort from him and helped steer an Australian side, or Prime Minister's 11 side, to victory. And I can vouch for the fact that the one and only ScoMo was there in attendance to watch the match and cheer them on and then congratulate them after the win.
Yeah, nice, mate. And was it a good atmosphere down there?
It was a good atmosphere. A little bit quiet during the day, obviously being a business day on a Wednesday. I was fortunate enough as part of my Monday to Friday that I... found an insurer that would sponsor some tickets and take some of my brokers along and myself as well. So it was nice to go and sit down there. It was a warm day down in Canberra, but pitch looked a little bit slow, like it wasn't coming quite onto the bat, and that would be demonstrated by the fact that neither team got 200. But yeah, certainly a good day out and good to see some developing cricketers as well as some of those ones that might not have quite piqued the interest of the Australian selectors at the level they should yet, such as Jason Berendorf and Ben Dwarshuis. So, mate, all in all, very good day out for Australia and great to see an Australian side win some cricket.
Yeah, that's what we want to be talking about, mate, wins on the field.
That's exactly right, mate. So that pretty much brings us to the end of the show. Again, make sure to jump on, give us a rating and a review on iTunes Podcast Store, Podomatic. Feel free to get in touch with us via Facebook, Instagram or Twitter. Facebook is just Sportscastle, all one word, SportscastleAU on Twitter and Instagram, flick us some messages, let us know what your thoughts are, keep commenting and getting involved. There's going to be some more stuff. We've got some big news to come in the not too distant future, hopefully involving some partnerships that we're getting involved in. And obviously the big one though was we did announce yesterday welcoming on board the new sponsor, Aerolax Australia Compression Garments. Mr. Troy Lowry come aboard as an official sponsor. They'll be the naming rights and major sponsor of our sports shorts segments for the foreseeable future. And we really look forward to partnering with those guys. And look, if you're a player playing, whether it's at elite, semi-elite, or even at a recreational level, it's a pretty affordable option. It's something you can look at, their compression gear, whether it's one bloke or between a couple of guys, and utilise it for recovery after matches and those sorts of things. Get in touch with Troy. He can let you know. They are the most economical in terms of pricing the market, he tells me, and by a fair distance. So, yeah, they'd certainly be more than happy to have a chat to you about what they can do. But, yeah, we really look forward to a long-term partnership with them. They've been associated with the show for a while. It's good to have them on board in an official capacity.
Yeah, it is good, mate. And, I personally don't have them at the moment, but I've heard nothing but great things about them, mate.
Yeah, your sporting abilities are probably beyond help by this point, though, mate, so it's all right.
Yeah, that's right, mate. That is right.
Maybe the alpha prices should share a pair between them.
Yeah, one leg each.
Yeah, it wouldn't take much to get around Nathan's.
The calves might block it, mate.
Yeah, exactly. But, obviously our other partners, Matt's Mowing and Maintenance, and Primex Sports Tours as well for all your sports tour needs. They can organise end-of-season trips or trips away to sporting events, whether they're one-off games or tournaments. Let them know. Get in touch with them via Facebook and make sure to get around. And just even if it's just simply liking our supporters and sponsors' pages, that'd be great. But, yeah, keep in touch with the show. Let us know your thoughts if you want anything else involved, or even if you just want to pot someone or give yourself a rap. Nathan Hudson loves it. He's getting plenty of mentions from it. So now we just need to see him get performing on the field, mate.
Yeah, that's right, mate. We don't want any one-hit wonders.
No, exactly right. But that's it for this week, mate. Thank you again for your time. Make sure to get down and support your local sport this week. I hope to see at least 20,000 Novocassians and Hunter Valley residents down at McDonald Jones Stadium on Saturday night to cheer on the Jets versus the Victory. All those people that scramble for grand final tickets, here's your chance to see them again. Get down there, get behind it, get to the cricket, get to the local rugby league. Just get down to anything, enjoy the sport, and looking forward to catching the Jets kicking off their home campaign, and plenty of sporting action this weekend. So thanks again for your time, mate, and we'll catch everyone next week.